Hi there, welcome to the Radio Academy podcast, where we're all about the sweet symphony of stories and sounds. I'm your host, Hayley Hayes. Picture this, a bunch of passionate radio geeks and producers coming together, urging us to ditch our AirPods and join them in a room filled with pure audio wonder. For over a decade, In the Dark have been championing creators, curating fresh content and crafting immersive live listening experiences that rival the magic of the cinema, all through the power of sound. In this episode, I'll be chatting with the incredible Talia Augustidis, whose work has graced the airwaves of BBC Radio 4's Shortcuts, Times Radio and the Financial Times. Not only is she a powerhouse producer of Broccoli Productions, but she's also a passionate advocate for storytelling and collaboration. Talia runs fantastic listening events with In the Dark, bridging the gap between us and the enchanting world of audio narratives. Let's dive in.
Magic is unspoken words and the pauses of conversations, of learning new things about yourself and connecting with lost shadows.
Like your mothers and your fathers, and their mothers and their fathers, had planted so long ago with some hope that one waking day you'll be alive to claim them, those possibilities.
What's the story of In the Dark? How did it come into existence? And what inspired the collaboration and focus on the live listening events?
In the Dark was started in 2010. I can't take any credit for that. It was founded by Nina Garthwaite. And she was sort of new to audio and she was hearing a lot of exciting things in the radio space, especially with our radio stations like Resonance FM. And this was before the podcast boom. So it felt quite ephemeral to her, like things would go out on the airwaves and then sort of be lost. And she was quite inspired by film festivals because there you could access work quite easily from the past and the present, and there would be this sort of collaborative atmosphere. And she wanted to bring that to audio. Yeah, like a place, I guess, where all of these ideas can cross-pollinate, like old and new, English and non-English, fringe and mainstream, art and factual, these kind of things. And so she started by just inviting radio makers that inspired her to play work by people that inspired them, just so she could learn and create this space dedicated for creative radio, because that didn't exist anywhere. She couldn't find it anywhere. And I think she sort of accidentally tapped into something that other people were really looking for as well. And that's how In the Dark came about.
So how did you get involved with actually running the London events?
Nina was a tutor of mine at university. I sat in on her audio documentary course and it absolutely blew me away. And then I made a piece and I graduated and I was really looking for community and I was looking to be inspired. And by that point, it was around, I guess, 2021, and she'd stopped the events just to take a break. And she just kept saying to me, oh, you would have loved In the Dark. You would have loved In the Dark. And I kept saying to her, when is In the Dark going to come back? And after a year of what I call gentle pestering, I'm sure she'd call it being annoying, she basically said, you do it then. And so I did. And she helped me with the first event. And then I remember for the second event, I was like, okay, so we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. And she was like, no, it's up to you now. And it really felt like I was sort of being pushed out, or like when your parents let go of the bike and you're riding out on your own. But no one's crashed yet. So I think it's been a success.
So how long has that been?
About a year and a half now.
And how many events have you done in that time?
Oh, that's a good question. It's about 10 a year, I would say. So probably about 15.
That's quite a commitment then, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it doesn't, like, every time, I thought it would feel too soon. We were planning to do only 4 a year, but it just, I crave them way before that. And I end up just planning them anyway. So I think that's a good, if it becomes too much work, I'll just not do it. You know, there's no obligation to anyone, it's just what I want to do, and people seem to turn up, so I guess it's not too soon.
So throughout your year of running the events, any specific moment that stands out as particularly powerful or transformative for you or the audience?
Yeah, I can only speak for myself, but Brid Addison Child did a really beautiful event on liminality. And they performed a new piece of theirs that they made for the event called The Juggler. And they had a live band score it. And it was just incredibly powerful. And again, it was this thing of it just felt really novel to have live music with a live performance, and I hadn't experienced that before, and a lot of people in the room hadn't experienced that before, and it was really powerful. And then there's another one by an audio artist called Nyukabi Kariuki, and it was, I think it was Swahili, it's called A Walk Through My QQ's Farm, that was played by Phoebe McKindu and Redzi Bernard, and they gave a little bit of context, but they didn't translate it, they just let the piece play, I think it was about 5 minutes, and it was so sound rich and beautiful, and it really filled the space, and it was really powerful that they didn't translate it, because you just had to feel it and you just had to sit there, but it felt like you knew what it was. So that to me was really powerful. But the thing I love about the events is that there will have been some people in that crowd going, what is happening? I don't understand at all. And that's kind of fun to me. And to me, a good event is when you hear whispers of what spoke to people on the way out, and everyone's saying different things, and some people are going, oh no, I hated that one, oh no, I loved that one, and there's a sort of disagreement. I think if everyone takes something from it and people aren't saying the same pieces, I consider that a success.
What's the creative process? How do you start? How do you create one of these immersive audio experiences?
I just reach out to people who inspire me and who are creating work that I love, and then I invite them to curate an evening. And I'm really clear that it's very much up to them. So at its most basic, they could just choose about 10 shortish pieces from people that inspire them, or clips of pieces or whatever. But then I explain that there's also scope to do more with that space. So they could include a live performance or a Q&A or a work in progress or audience participation or maybe some visual elements. And I will then try and find the space that fits that, both in terms of the tech that they need and also the, I guess, feeling that they're trying to curate. And then I just act as a little sounding board if they need it. I give them advice, but mainly it's up to them. I don't want to be too prescriptive. This is a creative space for them to play, and people really step up to it. People really love doing different things, and every event has felt so different because of that. It's not, you don't know what you're going to get when you turn up. I don't know what I'm going to get when I turn up. The main thing that I try and communicate to the curators is that I want there to be a range of different styles in every event. So it's not just, if you don't like sound rich audio, you're not going to have to sit through 2 hours of sound rich audio. I want there to be a range of different styles and a range of work from different people, not just from one production company, etc. But that's the only suggestion I have, and the rest of it is play from the curators.
And do you tend to have the same venue every month, or?
So for the first year, I made it my mission to never have the same venue, but then that just took a lot of time, and there are so many good venues that we wanted to go back to. So now I'd say this half year we've been cycling through a few again, where it's appropriate, but I still like to discover new spaces, because I think that's the fun of it as well. Like if you're turning up as an audience member and you're in a new space with someone you've maybe never heard of, I think that's a really exciting thing. So I try and do it in a new venue.
So you do the London events, but there are other events around the UK and even abroad, aren't there?
Yeah, so there's one in Bristol that's been going for a long time. I think there used to be one in Manchester. I was speaking to someone the other day about potentially starting another one in the UK. There's one in Spain that's just started up. There used to be also a long-standing one in Portugal. And then also there are like pop-up events that have been everywhere, from Australia, America, a lot of different places. And sometimes that's because Nina does them, or someone from In the Dark, or sometimes people will ask if they can put on an event. So yeah, it feels very international, and that's quite a nice aspect of it. It feels like there's a sense of community.
So what elements do you consider the most crucial when you're trying to engage an audience?
For me, I think humour really does it live. Like I think it's so engaging when something's funny, and it's just, yeah, that experience of hearing these like muffled laughs and giggles, even when something isn't actively laugh out loud funny, you can feel the sort of breath that a room takes, and I love that. I also think pieces that are a little bit mysterious or like unfold in an interesting way, where you're not immediately told, there's no hand holding, you don't know exactly where you are or what's happening, I think that can really grab an audience's attention. And then you can sort of feel the room silently hanging on to every word and trying to figure out where they are. But then there's a very fine line between mysterious and confusing. So that's a bit of a tension there. But yeah, I think those two things, and also pieces that are musical and sound rich, I think can really be very immersive and engaging.
And then what are the type of people that come to these events? Are they all working in the radio industry or audio industry, or they just happen to find you?
I would say probably 75% of people knew of In the Dark before and are in the audio space. Like, there's so many types of people even within audio that come, which I really like. And then there's probably about 10% of people every time that have been dragged there by a friend, which is really fun, and they have no idea what's about to happen. And then there's probably the remaining 15 or whatever, my maths isn't very good, who have just stumbled upon it, or maybe they know the curator or something. And that's really important to me, to have new people coming in, and not just for growth or to continue it, but I don't want it to feel like this sort of echo chamber, I guess. I want new people to discover it, because when people discover creative or experimental audio for the first time and they go, what is this? I love it. That's such an important thing for me. I want people to, yeah, find out about the medium as a whole. And if they can do that from those events, that's really cool. And it means a lot more to them than it does to the people that come every single month, even though it means something different to them. I think it's just, yeah, that sense of discovery can be really powerful.
Also, In the Dark has been instrumental in mentoring new producers. How important do you think mentorship is in the world of audio storytelling, and what impact do you think it has on the wider community?
Hugely important. Can't overstate how important. Nina was a huge mentor for me personally, helped me discover my sort of creative voice, helped me get jobs, and now she's doing that with the In the Dark School. She's teaching groups of people every 4 months, and it's really beautiful seeing her mentor new cohorts of people. And yeah, I just think mentorship, both peer-to-peer, so both like with contemporaries and both from people more experienced than you, is so important. And it can really, it's a difficult industry, and especially with everything that's going on at the moment, a lot of people losing their jobs, having someone to guide you, and especially for creative audio, to encourage you to keep doing that, I think that's really important. And I'm so grateful that I've had Nina and a lot of other mentors.
And with the rise of podcasts and digital media, YouTube, how do you see the landscape of audio storytelling evolving, and what role do you think that live events like this play in that?
I think people are just craving it even more, not just because the audio industry, since the podcast boom, is still sort of figuring itself out. So these community spaces are really important. And then also it's quite, I hate this word, but it is quite oversaturated. So I think people are overwhelmed with choice when looking at podcasts and video podcasts and all of this thing, and you don't know where to go to find stuff that you might like. And so that's why I think the appeal of In the Dark and other curatorial events is really high, because people see it as, one, a community event where they can maybe meet people, but two, where they can discover audio, and someone else has put in the work to be like, here are little bits of interesting things that might inspire you, and all you have to do is sit down for an hour or two. I think that's a real appeal. It's changing a lot, but In the Dark was there a long time before the podcast boom, and hopefully will weather the storm.
What has In the Dark got for us in the future? Have you got any upcoming events or collaborations you want us to look forward to?
Yeah, there's a really exciting one in November between the audio artist Jess Shane, who's from New York, and Christina Hardinge. That was really lovely because they both sort of came to me with a very similar idea about an event that discusses the relationship between the documentarian and their subjects. I said yes to both events, but then they sort of individually found each other and realized, oh, we're doing the same event, let's do it together. And so that inspired an accidental collaboration, and they are both so thoughtful, so I'm really excited for that event. I think it's going to be really powerful. And then generally a direction I'm quite interested to move towards is even more live events and collaborations between different mediums. So for example, as I was saying with the live musicians, I want more of that. I want more musicians. I want more, like, you know, what would it look like to have a dancer at an In the Dark event? What would it look like to, I don't know, combine drag and audio. So I'm really interested in sort of going beyond audio even and finding the collaboration between audio and different mediums.
So how do we keep in touch with In the Dark and also your own work?
So I am on Twitter. In the Dark is also on Twitter at In the Dark Radio. I'm at Talia Augustidis. You'll have to figure out how my name is spelt. And we are now also on Instagram at In the Dark Radio. There's also a newsletter and all that kind of stuff. But if you follow one of those, I'm sure you'll find out what we're doing.
A big shout out to Talia for an awesome chat today.
Now, before I wrap up, I've got a couple of dates to mark in your calendar. First up, the Radio Academy is hosting Foot in the Door, a one-day event for people at entry level in audio. We'll be diving into everything from program production to podcasting and loads more. And the best part, there's a social event to cap off the day and your first drink is on the house. All that's happening at Leeds University on Wednesday the 8th of November. Tickets are a steal at £6 for Radio Academy members and £12 for non-members. Get yours at radioacademy.org/training. And another exciting event is Radio TechCon. The Tech and Engineering Conference is in London on Monday the 27th of November. They're offering 20 bursary spots this year, which means free tickets for people from backgrounds that are underrepresented in broadcast engineering or those facing financial barriers. Plus, winners will get a year's free membership with the Radio Academy. If you're a Radio Academy member, you're in luck. Special ticket discounts are waiting for you. Just log on to our website and grab your discount code. So mark your calendars and I'll catch you there. Bye for now.